You're listening to Around Comics, episode 270, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and C2E2. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you are in the area, please drop by. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here, and let me introduce you to this week's panel.
Hi.
It's a panel of two to start with.
It's an army of two.
Have you read that comic?
No.
Have not. Have you played the video game?
No.
Neither?
No. I haven't. Sorry. Honestly, I didn't even know it was a video game.
You're useless to me.
I saw the cover of the comic, but.
Yeah, it's one of those based on a video game. Fresh from being signed by the Chicago Bears.
I was signed to a 4-year deal.
Along with everyone else, apparently, is my partner in crime, Mr. Brian Salazar. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Yeah. How you doing?
That's all right. You know, the penultimate recording here tonight.
I guess it is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like I told somebody earlier tonight, it's like, this is comic books. No one ever dies forever.
Well, coming out in April is Ultimate Around Comics.
Yeah, we're rebooting it. It's Ultimate Around Comics.
And then it'll be Ultimate.
How come it is the penultimate, though? Mm-hmm. I was looking at this calendar, and it's like, there's another weekend, or another week, like the 2nd of April.
Mm-hmm.
How come we're not recording then? I mean, I don't care. I was just asking.
It was kind of a arbitrary
date.
Just,
oh, okay. Yeah, I thought we were going up to C2E2.
You know, we will have a book club that'll come out and I don't know. I may just get on.
So
and,
2 weeks from today,
weep for an episode.
Oh, Jesus Christ, really?
Yes, March 19th will be our last recording here at Dark Tower. So if you're in the Chicago area, come on by. I'm sure we'll have several people crawling around the shop
or no one.
It'll just be you and me, right?
Yeah.
Before we do jump in here too much, and we just mentioned C2E2, I want to mention our sponsors for this episode. InStockTrades.com, of course, longtime sponsor of the show. InStockTrades.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and Coco is upset.
Coco.
InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do in fact ship for free. And I mentioned the book club episode, and that is spotlighting the Alien Legion Omnibus Volume 1. And it is discounted fantastic 45%. Off the cover price. You can pick that up at InStockTrades.com. And I'm looking forward to that. Actually, Ted, a longtime listener of the show, brought in all of his original Alien Legion issues to show off.
His brothers,
yes. He stole them from his brother. we mentioned C2E2, and this is kind of our march up to C2E2. So I'll go ahead and our crawl to C2E2. For the first time in over two decades, a national comics and entertainment convention is coming to downtown Chicago. Make your plans now to attend C2E2, the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, this April 16th through the 18th. You've heard about it a lot by now. Special guests like Jeff Johns, Mike Mignola, Ethan Van Sciver, Alex Ross. Who else? Gail Simone's going to be coming.
Neil Gaiman, they announced.
Yeah,
Neil Gaiman. Like, some sort of reading.
Mm-hmm. And that's to benefit the CBLDF.
You know, you hit it big time when someone else will pay you to just come and read your own stuff.
Yes, yes.
That's big time.
Come and read to thousands of people. Yeah. I've actually been, well, no, it wasn't an arena. I saw Neil Gaiman at the Printer's Row Book Fair last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just kind of a nice.
What was he doing?
Just an informal chat. He was talking to like Graveyard Boys.
I read that. Graveyard Book.
The Graveyard Book.
Yeah.
Graveyard Boys. I'm thinking of the Ed Brubaker Vertigo.
Dead Boy Detectives.
Dead Boy Detectives. So
agency.
I always get those confused. But yeah, you know, he's, you want to talk about just a guy that you can sit down and listen to. I mean,
is he charming?
He's a guy that I could listen to him read the songbook.
Because he's British.
That's part of it.
It's the British accent. Those guys just have it easy talking. Everybody wants to hear him talk.
Charming. And it's like, here, just read, you know, letter P in the yellow pages and I'll sit there. I'll pay for it. He's very cool.
Did he just tell stories about hanging out with Tori Amos?
No, it was really more about hanging out with his daughter and how
she was a big inspiration for that book. For the Graveyard Book.
Yeah.
He wrote that in, I think in the book, there's like a little essay kind of in the foreword. Yeah. You think he mentions that or
he
talks about it.
He kind of, I guess, farted around with the first chapter with this idea and read it to her. And she's like, that's good. Keep going. He's like, okay, I guess I will.
Yeah. Didn't she come up with something like,
I think some of the,
yeah, some there was some idea or something she came up with or told him to do or something.
Kind of ushered him on. But yeah, he's great. Go to c2e2.com for a full list of guest events, and you can purchase tickets. We'd mentioned March 19th as our last recording here. March 19th is also the last day that you can pre-order tickets to have them mailed to you. I believe that you can still order tickets ahead of time, but if you want your tickets mailed to you, March 19th is the cutoff for that. We are also giving away a big prize package. It's a really fun contest.
When are they giving that away?
March 19th is the drawing. March 19th is the day of days,
March 19th,
I guess.
Yeah, March 19th is a big
deal. We're
giving it's my birthday, March 19th.
Is it? No, it's not.
It's not.
You just had your birthday.
It would have been awesome if it was.
It's Tom's birthday.
Is it?
Sure, we'll just
say
so.
What the hell? He's not here to dispute it.
We're giving away one amazing VIP package, 3 weekend passes, 5 exclusive C2E2 posters signed by creator and guest of honor Alex Ross, 15 limited edition C2E2 t-shirts, and your chance to win lunch with a Marvel editor. I don't know who the editor is or where lunch is going to be, so it's
you get McDonald's with I couldn't even name an editor at Marvel. Who are Marvel editors?
Brevoort.
What are the potential? Brevoort, okay. But he's bigger than an editor, isn't he?
He's an editor.
Is, oh, okay.
Yeah, I would be. CB, maybe.
Is he an editor?
I don't know if he's an editor.
He's a talent attractor.
Yeah.
Or talent
scout.
Yeah.
He's the Simon Cowell of comic books.
I don't want to know what his
that
casting
couch
is like.
That was beautiful. Next one is, that was terrible. Get out of here. Give me coffee.
I don't even know the other editors.
Wacker?
Oh, sure.
Wacker will be great.
Sure.
Yeah. I would love
is that. Axel
Axel Alonso.
X-Men in the X-Men guy or something or he was?
I think so. He's doing all sorts
It'll
of
be somebody stuff. Interesting.
Probably.
You can ask questions about all your favorite Marvel characters and
all that stuff.
The inner workings of the Marvel offices, the bullpen as it were. I don't think there's a bullpen anymore.
To enter that contest and possibly talk to any of those or any one of those editors and have a wonderful
don't know
lunch.
Which one. Could be any of them.
Could be White Castle.
Could
we,
be all
we don't
of them.
Know. Just go to c2e2.com/aroundcomics. Just enter your email address and name, and that's it. And you are entered. All right.
I already did.
I did too, as a
you
test.
You can.
I can't win, but I just wanted to make sure everything was working.
Who's pulling that? They are?
Yeah, I believe
we don't
so.
Have that responsibility.
No, I've been shirking responsibility for the last 2 months.
I have noticed actually, which is shocking. I don't know what's gotten into you.
It's out of character.
It is. It's very hard for you to do that. I would imagine.
Well, I go 100%.
It's easy for me.
Oh, obviously, but you know, I go 100% at something until I find a new ball to play with. And right now, it's all about curling.
Curling. It's
all
curling.
About curling.
Oh, I feel bad for the curling community. I really do because they have no idea what they're in for.
I knew I was
the curling. Are you going to do a curling podcast?
No.
Come on, you should.
What, like betterice.com?
I don't
don't know.
Yeah. Whatever. Better is that you've already thought of it. BetterIce.com. Wait, I'm gonna go look that up right now on BetterIce.com.
That is registered.
Oh my god. I bet you it is.
No, I actually did get a comment last week from one of the older members.
It's at fucking GoDaddy, BetterIce.com. It is registered to you, isn't it?
No.
I can look that up.
It's not me. I swear to God. But yeah, one of the older members there is just like, wow, you're starting to be a familiar face around here.
You have no idea, curling community, what you've gotten yourself into. They really should have a better screening process for new members.
Oh shit, they'll just take your money.
You're gonna usher in a new era in curling. I think you're like the new young guard because.
You know, I was really surprised that how many young people are joining up for this.
Well, I think the Olympics have gotten people interested in curling. I mean, it's like a bowling. It's like you don't have to be a super athlete to do it.
There's a huge social aspect to it. It really is just kind of an excuse to go out, do something physically active, and then get together with a bunch of people and drink for an hour.
And you told me, what is that called?
It's called broom stacking. Because you stack your brooms
and then drink.
All right, it's great.
I respect that. Mm-hmm. I have no issues with the broom stacking.
I'll have to see if that we have an open event sometime, and I'll bring you up and we'll
where do I can some play.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
And we'll do some broom stacking afterwards.
Can I bring ice skates?
No. You have to wear a slider.
Well, how am I going to get that? I don't have those shoes. I'll make them.
I'll let you borrow a slider. I already have. Well, you only slide on one foot.
And you have two.
I have all the equipment.
Oh, heck yeah, God.
Of course. I'm shopping for a broom right now.
I really can't make fun of it. I mean, I was in a bowling league for years. Mm-hmm. I have, five different bowling balls and elbow and wrist guards and
it's the same
all
thing.
Sort of, yeah,
it's the same thing.
Drinking. It's just an excuse.
It's Canadian.
I thought that you said it was Scottish.
It is actually. Okay. Around curling.
This is a preview of what. In case people didn't know what Chris was going to do after Around Comics, this is a preview of it. It's Around Curling.
In Scotland, in the off golf season, whenever the weather was too inclement to golf, they invented this game curling to do on the frozen Scottish moors, and so that's what they would do.
The Scots just don't like their wives, do they? They just don't want to be at home. They need something outdoors,
and
they can run away to.
And they all involve drinking.
Well, it's drinking.
So that they would do this on the frozen moors. Curling. So yes, it is. But Canada has really adopted.
Good Lord!
What
I just. I've been telling you all day, I've become a bit obsessed with the show The Big Bang Theory, which I had never watched before this week, and now I've watched almost the entirety of three seasons worth of it in like 4 days.
Talk about me being obsessive.
Yeah, tell me about it. Luckily, they're only 20 minutes each, so I can run through a bunch of them at night. I just happened to go. I was reading in this free Comic-Con magazine. They had a thing for t-shirts, a website for buying different, geek t-shirts, whatever, stylingonline.com. And I went there and I'm looking through and they have Big Bang Theory t-shirts.
Oh, of course
they have to order.
Oh, of course they do.
I just had never seen them before. So. But yeah, I've been doing.
Yeah, let's talk about that, deviate from our new curling format.
Well, it's funny because I had never watched the show. I'd heard it was funny, but there was a part of me that's just like, I really don't want to watch a show that makes fun of like comic book geeks. You know, it's like, I don't need to see that. And mostly like the typical stuff is, it's just kind of mean-spirited and making fun of. And
haha, make fun of the kid in the wheelchair.
Yeah, and it's just like stereotypical, what I mean? So I had never watched it, but then I read there's a website called Geeko Systems or something like that, or Geeko something, I don't remember. And it was just an article this woman had written about how she liked the show, but she liked because it presented geeks in a certain way that she thought was beneficial, but at the same time, there was something about it because it didn't have women geeks on it or whatever. Anyway, but I read the article and then I was like, well, maybe I should try. I'll give it a try. And so then I watched like one episode and then it was Stan Lee was recently on it.
Stan.
So I watched that and then I went back and watched and got all the episodes and I've been watching them all. But it's a typical, sitcom, but it's pretty funny. And the geeks are basically the heroes of the story. I mean, they're the the likable characters.
But not in a Revenge of the Nerds type way.
What kind of? I mean, they're definitely geeky. I mean, they're all theoretical physicists, so they're super intelligent and
so they're actually smart geeks.
Oh yeah, they're really smart
as opposed to us.
We're just dumb geeks. But they're comic book geeks, and there's tons of comic book reference stuff in there. And but overall, I mean, I didn't think that it was. I mean, it's certainly not. There's nothing untrue in any of it. I mean, the funny thing is, like, I sit there and watch, and I go, "Yeah, I'm like that." Yeah,
and you get all the references.
The references are good. They're always wearing, you know, comic book T-shirts and talking about comic books and different. And they have a comic shop, and in their apartment, there's all sorts of statues, and they're, you know, they go to the comic shops.
It's like looking into a TV mirror.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's like, because that's the thing. It's like there were things in it that I might, you know, sit there and go, "Oh, that's kind of rude," but then I go, "Yeah, I do that. Yeah, I'm like, you know, I identify with all of these characters at the same time." But you know, it's just a stupid sitcom, and it's pretty funny. So I just need to get through it all. You know, there's like 20 episodes a season, 3 seasons. I just have to watch them all, and then I'll be done.
So comic nerdy of you.
I know. That's the thing about the show is it has a continuity. They follow a very strict continuity in the show. There's things that have happened, and because I've watched 3 seasons worth in a week, I can pick this up. There's stuff that happened like in the first season that they reference in the 3rd season. They're very strict with their continuity, so they're definitely it's a geek show, but it's been fun to watch.
Staying on the TV subject, I started watching Survivors on BBC America, and it's I really enjoy it. It kind of gets off to a kind of a slow start. It's to give you a little bit of backstory or back history on it. There was a series on BBC in the 1970s, also called Survivors, that this is very much based on. I mean, the storylines are repeated.
This is where Lost came from, isn't it? Gilligan's Island.
Well, it's more like The Stand. And I would say it is a
post-apocalyptic.
It's a mixture of take equal parts of The Stand and The Walking Dead. Uh-huh. It's a virus, a super flu that wipes out like 90% of the world population.
The Stand, yeah.
But it's not take out the religious spiritual aspects of it. This is you know, it's set up just like The Stand, but then it becomes much more like The Walking Dead in that you have these groups or these individual survivors that kind of happen upon each other, and so they start forming this group that is now trying to travel and find a place to start their life over again, and they find other people that are maybe not so nice, and people that have kind of like set up territory, so it becomes very feudal.
Mm-hmm. Walking Dead. Are you caught up on The Walking Dead? Did you read the latest?
Yes.
When they get to that town or whatever.
We can't let them know what we've done.
Well, you're just sitting there waiting. Kirkman's good at it. I mean, you're just sitting there waiting. It's like,
when's the other shoe going to drop?
Yeah, everything looks so great and everything, mm-hmm. but you just know at some point, these people are fucked up. There's something wrong in this town, and they're going to have to kill everyone. And someone's going to die.
Something terrible has happened.
He's got to be a. I was thinking about when I was reading that issue. It's like, he's got to be a pretty fucked up person in his head at some point, because all he does is torture these people over and over. He does it so well, but he just thinks some of the sick shit.
It's been good for like the last 6 months. It had hit kind of a little valley there, but mm-hmm. I think it's back and getting. You know, they've done this several times now with different towns and then the prison and here I think is definitely a new chapter. It's this community, and I think they're going to ride that out. I would imagine for 8-10 issues anyway.
Yeah,
it's because they're so quick. But Survivors is I'm enjoying it quite a bit because it does have a lot of that Walking Dead feel and vibe to it. You don't know who is. I mean, we're not, as people, we're not all good. And if 90% of us died, well, you know what? There's still going to be a lot of screwed up survivors out there.
Sure.
And so there are people that have, working their own angles and all that kind of stuff. But it's based on this 1975 series, which was created by Terry Nation, who, if you are an old school Doctor Who fan like I am, I know you're not, but Terry Nation wrote a tremendous amount of the 1970s Doctor Who stuff, you know, third and fourth Doctor. So there's a geeky tie in there that it's based on a Terry Nation property.
There you go.
It's weird because it says it's based on a novel by Terry Nation. I guess there were some rights disputes, which is why he left the show.
The original show.
Oh. Yeah. And so it's based on a novel. But I've been going back and watching the original BBC versions, and it is, I mean, like there are scenes that are basically duplicated.
In the new one.
Yeah, but it's almost like Battlestar Galactica-esque in that, you know, now, like, you know, one character that was, you know, a guy in the original series is now, like, an Asian woman, you know, that kind of stuff. So.
What's her name? Katie Sackhoff showed up on The Big Bang
Theory. Oh, did she?
As a fantasy in one of the characters' masturbation scenarios. Basically telling him to get out of the bathtub and go I don't want to go. It's pretty funny though.
It's nice. All right, Sal, we got a panel now.
We do. We have guests now. I don't quite get that. I don't understand that one.
The Hangover? The movie The Hangover?
Oh, okay.
We have guests. Sorry. We were looking at the StylingOnline.com.
I'm telling you, this is the best. I've been looking, like, the last couple of weeks. I've been looking for, like, good geeky T-shirts.
Oh, no, it's a good company.
And I went to, like, 80s tees, and they have some, but they're kind of expensive, especially if you're fat.
Yeah, like of larger proportions.
And, Husky. This place has, like, got them for like $20.
I know, man.
If you're, you know, double X. So.
Dude, I stock up when they come to the convention. They set up at the con.
Is that them?
Is that the real big one?
Yeah. And okay. I mean, yeah, okay. That's where I got my cool Superman shield that looks like an Aerosmith cover.
they do the big circus tent of T-shirts.
Yeah. Hey,
okay.
Hey.
What?
Whoa.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
No, that's insane.
Circus tent T-shirts. Circus tent of T-shirts, John.
Oh, I see.
You're looking trim. You're looking good.
Yeah. God bless you, but I can do better. But that's all right.
He's gone from circuit tent to pump tent.
Yeah, okay.
Pump tent.
That's in my pants, sir.
Joining us now, of course, is Mr. John Suntress. How you
Hello.
Doing, sir?
Hello. Hi.
Good to have you.
Suntress. Can't get rid of him.
I had something to talk to you about, John. Now I can't remember.
Anytime, Sal. I'm here. I'm here all night.
And another return guest, but not returning enough. It's been a long time since we've had you here. Stevie
Where
D.
Been?
Suck it. It was before Windy City last time I saw you here.
Yeah, that's Jesus. The last time I was here.
We got good responses from our buddy out.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Because I'm so damn handsome.
Seriously, not much of a cockroach race amongst all of us, but you were the most handsome man on that video.
Cockroach race?
I'm not sure, now I get it. I think that was a compliment.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. It's like my pup tent thought that he's, hey.
Yeah. I think,
circus tent T-shirts.
I know what it was.
Please.
I wanted to compliment you on your Groucho Marx retort to Roger Ebert today. That was fantastic, by the way.
God bless you.
I know people
my age and older had to have, like, tweeted that back to Ebert. Ebert's like, he was on Bundy's at the Oscars, and there was no room service until 5 p.m. And he's like, no room service? What would Groucho say? And I said, send up another room.
And that was fantastic, John. That was
perfect. You know, and I'm like,
that is what Groucho would say.
If Ebert had a voice, he'd laugh. Honestly, did you see on Oprah?
I didn't. I haven't seen it. I did see it.
For people who haven't seen it.
Has he got, like, a talking machine? Sort of like,
but some tech company took all of the commentaries he had done for DVDs throughout the years and actually have assembled
his voice.
Yes,
really.
And it's limited, but they showed him with his wife, and he was typing, and it sounded enough like him.
No kidding.
And yeah, I was, you know, seriously, like, I know Jeff Katz tweeted about it, and
I saw the pictures CBR. Of him in Vanity Fair.
Jonah Weiland. Jonah Weiland was tweeting. I mean, we're all like, oh, man, it's so nice. We haven't heard his voice in so long.
You know,
so he's such a cool guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Read his blog if you have a chance. He did a blog entry. This has been probably a month or month and a half back, and Marta, my wife, was just like, you have to read this. And it was this story about all these things that he took for granted because he can't talk now. He can't eat.
Feeding tube. That's fucked up.
But he has just this
super positive,
amazing positive. Outlook on it. He's like, I'm alive. And
I can write. And I can
exactly.
I can express myself. And I can watch movies, which is he loves more than anything else.
And no, it's wonderful that he, I think, honestly, I think he's become more powerful, frankly. And you know, certainly more people are paying attention.
And he's awesome on Twitter.
It's like more poignant because now you're listening to what he has to say. You don't take it for granted. Take him for granted.
And I think he kind of feels like he doesn't know how much time, really that he's going to have left either. And he's not afraid to step away from movies and tell you what he thinks about everything.
Yeah, he's definitely, no question.
Eviscerated Jay, God, I'm blanking on every name today. Sports. Mariotti.
Oh, Jim.
Jay Mariotti left the Sun-Times, left newspapers, and the guy was a pain in the ass, and I know this from being on the sports
beat
for 20 years.
A long time ago.
Jay Mariotti.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Good Riddance. Did you read our Good Riddance?
No, I haven't read it yet. No, I was not a fan of Jay Mariotti. I hated Jay Mariotti.
Well, when... Because he really left and really is like, newspapers are dying. You guys are chumps. And Ebert wrote this awesome editorial saying, hey, man, the newspaper guild stood up for you when they were ready to fire you because he screwed up a lot during the Olympics, would screw up on baseball coverage while the Olympics were going on. And he was a real idiot. And really, he sent him a nice little FU blog, open letter to Jay Mariotti. We're like, fuck you, pal. Newspapers made you what you are. Don't you ever forget it. And it was cool.
Ebert's a newspaper guy.
But we digress.
No question. I don't know. That was all Groucho Marx.
Set up another room.
Well, before you fine gentlemen came in,
what was the conversation?
We had someone crumpling bags in the back.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you really eat the Funyuns after the show. Don't eat the Funyuns during the show.
Norton looks afraid, like Steve is going to get up and whip his ass. It's like,
I won't, because Mike's giant.
Mike Norton, Tom Welling, 32.
Really?
32.
Was there
a little too old to play a 19-year-old.
According to Wikipedia, 32. It came up that I guess they renewed Smallville for a 10th season.
Yes.
Yeah, they
Jesus
did.
Jesus Christ. He hasn't been a farm boy for like 6 years. And he's honestly, I think he looks his age. Don't get me wrong. I like him a lot. I think he's a fine
Superman.
He's a 30-year-old
man. He's not he's not a kid, he's
but it's just 22. It's kind of goofy that it's still Smallville. I mean, and I know.
Tom Welling looks a hell of a lot better at 32 than I did.
Well, I understand. Me too.
He's amazing looking, yes, but that's the reason why I watched the show for a couple of years. It's the only reason why I tune back in every once in a great while, but Jesus Christ, stop!
Well, that's let's just what call I mean. It Metropolis, like, put a cape on him or call it.
Yeah, but if you
Superman.
Change the name, I'm sure you're going to lose a couple million, viewers to. Oh, what happened to Smallville? I don't know this Metropolis.
Yeah, maybe.
That was my grandfather.
Exactly,
by the way, he watches Smallville.
I'm going to watch Lawrence Welk on PBS.
I was going to bring up
Smallville.
My father-in-law.
Those are my options.
I was always shocked. I had no idea for years. I always read comics and blah blah blah. My father-in-law, my wife's father. I figured he had no interest in anything like that whatsoever. I mean, he liked sports and he loved golf, and he was an accountant. And never in the years that I knew the man did he ever mention anything comic book related or anything that would give me any inclination that he would enjoy any of that stuff. And then I found out one of his favorite shows of all time was Lois and Clark.
Oh, that's
funny.
Like,
what the fuck?
Oh, that's
Where did
funny.
That come
Interesting.
From? You know, and like they never missed Lois and Clark.
It was all about Terry Hatcher.
Those first three seasons, I thought it was a good show. I mean, it
was.
It jumped the shark eventually,
it
but,
just
you know.
Shocked me, I was like, what the Lois and Clark, really? You like that? I mean, you know, it was just for him. It was just strange.
Dean Cain movies all over Logo. I'm watching Logo because of Buffy. Which, by the way, if I
may, Stevie
right?
B, yeah, comic please, book go quiz, ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Guys Gone Wild commercials.
Talk to the back in the room.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
You know, hey, there's a gay guy here, so I gotta like commiserate for.
So what do you think of those Guys Gone Wild? Did they oil them up beforehand? Yeah, they do. They get them oiled up. They get them really liquored.
It and, kills
and,
me, man.
And the people, the camera people, are actually women.
For real?
Yeah, I actually, my roommate ordered the DVDs when they first, the very first time they ever came out. He ordered them, so of course I watched.
Hey, I wouldn't have taken my shirt off if I knew guys was going to be looking at me. I thought this was for the ladies.
Hey,
they've got
the Sarah actually, Silverman show on Logo.
Yes.
So
yeah, that's
like,
hilarious.
Yeah, watch that and then see commercials for RuPaul's Drag
yes,
Race.
Yes, Drag
that
Race.
That is fantastic. I'm sorry, I'm eating
show.
A cookie.
That is a funny show.
I don't have a dick in my mouth. Seriously, if you...
Yeah, it's...
If you guys... Watch that show.
I have.
It's hilarious. It's great.
I have. I think it's very funny, and I like the judges, and I like the contestants.
And those
certainly.
Catty little bitches.
Man, that cracks me up.
Oh, my God. You should see that now. They're doing the same thing that, like, Project Runway is doing a show after the show about the models.
What this, is it?
It's
I haven't seen
it. When is it?
What is it?
What is it?
What is it? I mean, I know RuPaul, but I've never seen
the Drag Race. It's RuPaul's Drag Race is to find like the next big drag superstar.
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
It's like Project Runway for drag queens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And they have another little show afterwards called RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked. And it's all the stuff that happens in the green room in between scenes. And just like every other reality show
that
in the
does
world,
sound awesome.
They get these queens liquored up.
Awesome.
So watch.
The shit flies. I like how RuPaul has adopted the Sybil Shepherd treatment of putting the Vaseline on the lens to, or his gauze over the lens
you
to,
have to, right?
to soften I mean, his
yeah.
look,
oh, yeah.
which I understand.
RuPaul's got to be 40.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm
she's
sure.
a lot older than that. Yeah, she's,
really?
She started out. Like 80s? Yeah, just because I'm gay doesn't mean I know all this exactly. shit. I mean, I'm trying to make it up. I'm gonna make it up. Well, she started in 1936.
Odds that you would know it, better than we would know it.
It's hey man, if you were Superman, we'd have a bunch of Kryptonian questions. Yeah, it's like, the same yeah. goddamn thing, man.
It certainly
you
is. Know? It's the exact same fucking
no,
thing.
If he was Kryptonian,
except Kryptonians can get married.
Exactly.
If
hey
he was
man, I'm with you.
If he was Kryptonian,
me and the mayor, man,
have a bunch
we're
of
right
Superman
behind
questions.
You.
I didn't mean to yell like that. Sorry.
On Earth 2, let me ask you this: what happens? You guys eat your corn on the cob in a strange
yeah.
way.
Yes, we do.
It's too bad it's radio because really, I think a lot of people would really appreciate to see it.
I think left to the imagination, it'll be even better. we're going to talk some comics.
Okay.
Forget it. No,
fine.
So we're going to go from I think drag queens to Nazis.
Oh yeah, we talked about this. Well,
Justice okay. Society.
Yeah, the Justice.
I like that
JSA. Yeah, that's my book.
After
JSA fighting Nazis, you can't beat that.
Exactly. And after I think a shaky start, I like this new arc for Willingham. I felt the same way.
But it was a shaky start. But I think it's led up to this. You know, even you know the Kid Carnival stuff and
true.
And with Obsidian's his whole weird egg.
Yeah, I'm in an egg.
Yeah, that was kind of strange. But the Kid Carnival.
Could somebody sit on the motherfucker and hatch him already?
Yeah, exactly. But this is really good with you know I was kind of taken aback at first because of the whole 20 years in the future and everybody's
sure.
dead and it's Mr. Terrific you know captured by Nazis
yes middle-aged Mr.
Figure,
Terrific
yeah but you figure you know that's not going to happen it's an alternate you know
oh
sort
well
of,
yeah but enjoy
I,
the ride that's all right
the ride,
I
yeah.
love I
and
love
fighting
when,
Nazis I mean that's you can't get any better than that.
Absolutely and yeah it was some of those characters I really didn't look them up because some I remember and some I don't now I wonder
yeah.
how many are new and how
Baroness
many are
Blitzkrieg I didn't really
that now she I remember
yeah
and of course Captain Nazi
The most of these were like around in All-Star Squadron, right?
What a great
probably
Captain
Nazi.
Nazi.
I'm Captain Nazi.
I have it here. I'll look up
the,
some more of that.
You know, that was a original. That's the guy who created Freddie Freeman, Captain Marvel Jr.
Got,
the,
that's right.
Really? Shadow of War. I never heard of that one.
Yeah, I think that's a new one.
Yeah. Count Berlin. That one's awesome.
Count
Vampire
Berlin.
Nazi.
Yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
that's
I know,
awesome.
I am Count Berlin.
I like that one.
Baron, I saw him at the Brauhaus the other night. Count
Baron,
Berlin.
Baron Gestapo.
Okay.
Dr. Demon.
Right.
Captain Murder, which you can't
Captain
be.
Murder.
There's a lot of captains in that. There's Captain Swastika, Captain Nazi, Captain Murder, Hunter. Just I'm
all
thinking
right.
it was Hunter, like Jew Hunter at one point, and they just changed it to Hunter.
Or maybe inspired by Inglourious Basterds with
maybe.
The whole Christoph Waltz deal.
I haven't seen that yet.
White Dragon.
Awesome. So good.
Awesome.
So good.
And
it's on
Green
the
Ghoul.
Which one?
Nice. Green Ghoul.
The Green Ghoul. Yeah, I like
Dragon. All right. Yeah. I think Cumberland's my favorite.
What's Cumberland?
Captain Murder.
I love their song "Riding on the Metro." Cumberland.
Out of all of
come on.
Out of all of the fascist bad guys in comics history,
yes.
You know all of those guys. But then in the Marvel, who's your favorite fascist bad guy?
Well, Red Skull. Skull. I mean, for me,
I respect
Skull's
that.
Always been. I mean, because I'm a huge Cap fan, so sure. It's always been Red Skull.
Yeah, I think he's at the top, though. I don't know. I mean, again,
Zemo,
Captain...
but Baron Zemo's. I probably like Zemo better than I like.
I like Zemo's Skull. Look, but yeah, but you know, I don't know. And I was bummed that they killed off. Although I guess that happened in the '60s when the Masters of Evil and stuff. That's when Helmut Zemo actually.
Helmut.
Yeah, yeah. Like I put the umlaut in my voice there when I said that.
There's been like it's like the third generation.
Johann. Yeah, Johann. Whatever he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a gumdrop Johann anymore, does he?
No, it's not Johann Strauss, is it?
No, it's not Johann Strauss. That's the composer. If we were talking about the Blue Danube, it would be Johann Strauss, I believe.
Ever since the Stern Byrne run on Captain America, I've always been a big Baron Blood.
Baron Blood's cool.
Blood, sure.
And you just got to love Arnim Zola.
Oh,
just
how about
freakiest?
Yeah, I love.
But what a great character design.
With no novelties necessary, the great Baron von Strucker. Come on.
Monocle.
Exactly.
Just the monocle.
Hey, man. Read the.
kind of bald head.
Exactly. Kind of the Colonel Clink look.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just
Daniel
read.
I'm trying to think.
Read the Steranko Nick Fury. Strucker was great. Sure. Even though it took him forever to figure out that Strucker was the head of
Hydra.
Of Hydra.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Yeah, he doesn't look evil at all. You'd think he was, you know, just a guy. With a monocle.
Jesse Alexander did that awesome one shot of Sergeant Fury. And you had the original Baron Zemo, and you had Strucker in there and everything. It was really cool from a few months ago. And I hope they collect that soon. I know that they were going to use that as kind of a prequel to Captain America White. I don't know where that project is. I'll be talking to Love in a couple weeks and find out.
Yeah, no kidding. I forgot all about Captain America White.
It's
somewhere with War Heroes.
Yeah, and Daredevil the Target and, you know, some of the other woulda, coulda, shouldas.
Things change.
Yeah, but you know, you can just keep going back to the well of
great Nazi villains.
Of great Nazi villains,
the great Nazis,
Ilsa the She Wolf of the SS for the fine video. Oh. That's not comic books, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, who was the in Tom Strong? Who was the?
Oh God,
what was her name? She was a great villain. Tom Strong had some.
While you're thinking, I'll say Steve Bryan actually in Athena Voltaire used Ilsa as a. Role model or whatever, inspiration for a villainess that he came up with, and I can't remember her name, but it was in one of Steve's Athena Voltaire stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was that guy in that book that had the thing.
That had the thing, yeah, exactly. Thank you, Steve. I did identify the book. Give me that much.
I can't remember her name. I remember
she
what she looks like.
Yeah.
Because Arthur Adams drew her. Because
there were boobs.
Yeah, there were boobs. Leather Nazi boobs.
No flat-chested female Nazis I've noticed.
No.
Eva Braun, that's about it.
They're the master race.
You're right about that. Absolutely.
I'm German, and I'll just say that we drink a lot of beer.
Who was the Wonder Woman pastiche that Roy Thomas used in The Invaders? Because there was an equal to Master Man.
Wasn't she Warrior Woman?
It Warrior Woman?
It might have been Warrior Woman. I just remember her having.
I'm thinking about that.
And Frank Robbins, you know, drew her if I could be Bob Hope for a second, you know, she really had the swastikas out there, if you know what I'm saying.
Was it Warrior Woman? Or
I love Frank Robbins for her.
That sounds
me too.
Right, but
I
for
think
some
it's
reason,
Warrior Woman.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Did you always like Frank Robbins' art?
Yeah, I love picking up Invaders when I was a kid, and yeah.
Because I think as a kid, I must have subconsciously liked it, but I know I'm like, what is this? And what's with Bucky with the mullet and everything? I didn't think of it as a mullet back then.
No, we didn't know it was called a mullet.
Right, then. It was the 70s. But I have to say, I really enjoy stuff. And have, you know, really great stuff on the Invaders, but go back in his comic strip work, Johnny Hazard.
I didn't know about that.
Oh, man, awesome. It's like Steve Canyon, and really he was a guy that was inspired by Kniff, and I think really, you know, modeled his style off Kniff, and followed him on a bunch of scripts or strips like Scorchy Smith, things like that. He's awesome. And, of course, great Batman writing from Frank Robbins as well.
So. Oh, I didn't know he did any writing, to be honest with you.
You know, at DC, wrote a lot of great Batman and Batgirl and Robin solo stories and also wrote a lot of the war stories. I mean, he was, you know, it was strange that they never used his art, but, you know, that they had scripted a lot for
DC.
Is
he the same guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, probably. Definitely.
I'm
absolutely.
Just asking. I'm not.
No, you know, and it's one of the when I eventually get around to talking to Joe Kubert soon, I hope. I want that's one of my questions is why was Frank allowed to write but not draw?
You heading out to WonderCon?
Yes, I am, sir.
I think he's a guest there. No, no, I won't make it to WonderCon this year. Joe Kubert will be there
that's
in my
cool.
place.
I had that very good here. Well, that's very big of you to allow Joe to substitute
nice
for you.
For you.
I met him in Baltimore, and he was great, and he did give me his business card and contact to talk to. I just haven't made the love connection yet to make time to talk to
love
him. But we will.
Mm-hmm. He probably just thought you were trying to apply to a school.
He's got an iron hand. I mean, he's like 84, 85. He's like only a few years younger than Stanley and those guys. But he, he goes back to the golden age.
Still
he was
knocks it out.
Literally
yeah.
sharpening pencils for Will Eisner when he was like 13 years old.
Wow.
Here you go, Mr. Eisner. Good luck on the spirit. All right,
thanks, kid. Give
just,
me a
just doodle in the corner. What's that thing with wings? I call it Hawkman. Yeah, that's terrific. Get the fuck away from me, will you? I'm busy.
I just want to draw war
will
stories.
Will never be like that.
No, no, no. He loved everybody.
Yeah. That's one of my biggest regrets is that I never got to meet or hear him talk or just
Will Eisner.
Yeah.
Did anyone in the room? Because I know we've got a large peanut gallery today. Back the year I want to say after 9/11. I think it was 2002. University of Chicago had the Humanities Festival and celebrated comics. And Neil Gaiman interviewed Eisner. And Spiegelman was here. And Scott McCloud was here. And well, I'm just saying who was there. Of course, Mark's a name dropper.
I
Was
I remember
awesome.
That. I didn't get to go to it,
Jesus
but I do remember
was
that.
There.
It was cool. It was like being at, in the paper.
Jack Kirby
because the
Jack
University of Chicago is like our Harvard. I mean, that's, they split the atom at the University of Chicago for people who don't know. And it's a beautiful campus.
And the first Heisman.
That's
award.
Right, yes.
Award
they had,
to
yeah.
a
we had a football team until on
they
eight.
Still do. My nephew actually plays for
it. Oh, no shit. Okay.
They're D3.
Okay, that's cool. So Ron Bash knows who they are.
He plays for him, but he's there for school. Not
but he started as a freshman.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he got whatever the conference they're in, player of the year or something.
as a tackle,
yeah.
But it was great because they essentially it was a guest lecture, and afterwards, totally approachable. And he hung out in the lobby, and you could talk to Gaiman, you could talk to Eisner.
Wow.
And I brought a couple of my Warren spirits with the peach-colored pages. And stuff, and he's like, "Oh, my pleasure. Oh, good." Yeah. And I'm like, "Oh man, I'm like, dude, I've been reading you for 30 years. You're awesome." And he's like, "Oh, you're very kind. Thank you."
I tell you what, you read the 10-cent plague, and you really start to understand that Eisner was there basically at the beginning. I mean, we're the Eisner Iger Studios. He was like 18, 19 years old,
right?
When he started working in the biz.
Well. They were packaging comic strips before they were doing comic books. I mean, that's the thing. They were another studio that was, trying to make things. I forget the pirate thing. Awesome, my man. Got a flash drive back from Kyle Bice. Thank you very much.
Hello,
not that
Kyle.
Everyone needs to know that, but I
appreciate
it. But the stuff that Eisner did, I can't remember the pirate strip that he did back then. The other thing, too, is, that's the thing. Everyone says Siegel Schuster and stuff, and it's like, no, Eisner was really there from the start, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he really
absolutely.
Was, So
yeah, read that book if you have a chance.
I keep meaning to, but also I hear that the one thing that doesn't seem to be covered. And you tell me because you've read it, all the comic strip people during the Senate hearings on comic books, the comic strip people really like, hey, that's those guys that are doing that horror and crime shit, not us. We're good guys, and
there were so many people taking sides.
What everybody wanted to
exactly.
Do.
Yes,
I mean the comic
that
was
the country club of cartooning.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. And so they were. Hey, we're not with those dirtbags.
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty much,
man.
Pretty much.
Oh, there was that was very much a time of division in comics where people were, with the whole comics code coming. I mean that was basically all the other publishers that EC was kicking. Their ass. They're like, okay, we have a chance to kill our competition and sell a lot of books here. So yeah, there was a lot of taking.
Oh yeah, it was
sides.
Self-imposed. I mean,
oh yeah,
Gaines won't know he's on dextrogen all whacked out trying to lose weight. You hear about that? Supposedly he was taking dextrogen right before his testimony, and he was like, I don't know.
they talk about that, but I think Bill Gaines got the last laugh.
Oh hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
Fine, screw you people. I'm going to make it into a magazine and not have to worry about censors and make millions.
Yes, and and Mad Magazine did very, very well. Well, you know, I was going to talk Aphrodisiac, but you haven't read it. You haven't read it yet.
That's hilarious. Mine came
in the mail. You haven't enough of that yet?
Mine came in the mail last night.
No, I haven't, but I mean.
We've been talking about it on 11 o'clock.
Well, then you don't need to talk about it.
I won't spend much time on it. I'll just say for those folks out there that don't listen to 11 o'clock, Jason Wood did a great synopsis of Aphrodisiac, and then I read it and loved it. It is a relatively new original graphic novel from Ad House.
Are you recording right now?
Yes.
Or are you just talking to us?
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I thought you were just talking to us.
On the air, sir.
Okay, sorry.
That's why we're here.
I apologize.
That's what the red light is.
I could have sworn you'd stop.
You're like Carl Pilkington on those Ricky Gervais podcasts. Yeah, man. What the hell's going on?
But it's from Ad House Books, and it's by Jim Rugg, and it is...
I have it.
It's awesome.
I bought it.
I mean, you look through it. It looks fantastic.
It looks, yeah, it's 70s, you know... exploitation comic book. I mean, it looks
black exploitation.
Attaboy.
Actually, I just got in the mail from Netflix. Black Dynamite.
Yes.
Have you seen that yet?
Yes.
I have not seen.
Awesome.
It.
Awesome.
I can't wait to watch it.
Outstanding.
I just got it, so I haven't.
I had the pleasure of talking to Greg Morris about that.
Oh, really?
Damn it, Phil Morris. I always do that. His father was Greg from Mission Impossible. He's Phil.
Yeah.
But he had. I hadn't seen it when I spoke to him in New York and everything, but now I saw it, and yeah, it's a fantastic
movie. Phil Morris, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. I love him.
That guy, my God, that guy's in serious shape. That guy's like 5 years older than me, and like, you know, he can kick our asses.
Phil Morris?
He's a practicing martial artist.
I used to watch when Young and the Restless. I'd like to see him with a shirt
on. No shit, he was on Young and the Restless? That's hilarious.
Oh, the storyline was fantastic. He actually had to paint up as a white guy.
Oh, what? Jesus.
Seriously, it's from the 80s. If you can find this, fuck, it's
Holy
awesome.
Shit.
He made the worst looking white guy. He looked a little bit like Lionel Richie.
Wow, or when Eddie Murphy, of course, did it on SNL.
Yeah, a little bit more like Lionel Richie still.
All right, fine.
I'm truly
hello.
Classic.
So check
great.
Out.
I'm a penny lover man myself.
So check out Aphrodisiac.
It's very funny.
It is funny. It's Rugs are. He's goes through several different styles.
Yeah.
And it is.
Oh, it looks awesome. I was gonna read it, and I'm like, he's not going to want to talk about it because he's been talking about it on 11 o'clock comics. He's not going to. So I didn't even bother. I was going to.
They beat books to death on that show.
That's what they do.
True.
That's what we do.
Have you read Mysterious, the Unfathomable?
They're so fucking desperate.
Can I tell you about how great
they're so,
the,
you know, they're so desperate and surprised to get a word in edgewise between Vince's, you know, ramblings of, you know, stuff that nobody's ever read.
I want books on tape of Vince's. Really, I think Viz and everybody has to hire like him to do the books on tape.
Books on tape.
I would love that.
Of all the manga that he reads, absolutely. There's this incredible part of the book. It takes 75 pages, and I will take you page at a time.
Panel one,
reading right to left.
That's all right. He'll shit on me next week at 11 o'clock. That's all right. This is all for the transition when this show is no longer here. The people should go and listen to 11 o'clock. It's a very funny show.
We have our moments.
We shake our fist at it every week.
Steve, what have you been reading?
I don't know.
Yeah, I see you in here every week. You're reading.
What have you been reading?
He doesn't read comics.
I read it, and then I completely forget about it. Mm-hmm. No, this week actually, Wonder Woman was really good because the Power Girl was in it. She's my gal.
Yeah, you hear the news on that, by the way.
Yeah, I just heard it today. It is sad.
Gail's leaving.
Mm-hmm. She owns Birds of Prey, though, right?
Yeah, which
that's great.
I wish.
So
although
happy that's
maybe
coming
she
back.
Can only handle two books a month. I don't know. I mean, it's
what's the other book?
Well,
she
you
does?
Know,
oh,
Secret Six.
Yeah, Six,
of course.
Yeah.
She can't stop doing that. She said she also announced a new Welcome to Tranquility miniseries, which I'm so excited about. That's awesome.
And she apparently has another project that
is brewing.
That is brewing. And what you talk about, what you're, but you're reading, but.
No,
I want to talk about who might be taking over Wonder Woman.
Oh, please. I want to hear the rumors. I need to know.
Morrison.
No.
That's the rumor.
What I heard from that is that mm-hmm. I heard that on bleedingcool.com.
Yeah, because that's reputable.
You know what? Well, you know what? So is Wikipedia.
I love you, Rich Johnson, but I mean,
you know what? Shut up.
He's right more than he's wrong.
No, but he was saying on there that his take was that the editors were like, okay, it's Morrison's direction is too weird, a little too out there, and so they're going to make it an out-of-continuity mini, which that would be fine by me.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
But...
Okay.
That is like Wonder Woman, first of all,
because you wouldn't
I,
want sales on Wonder Woman to go down.
Because here's the thing.
By getting too weird.
If Morrison gets on there, all I imagine is he's going to turn her into Kathy Lee Crosby wearing the fucking sweatsuit.
Love that with Montalban as the bad
guy.
Big fan of that TV movie.
It's going to turn into that thing.
Nubia was in that movie.
Sign me up.
These kids are too young.
I understand. Nubia is in that movie. Her black sister.
I know, yeah.
That's an awesome movie. More continuity than you think in that stupid fucking movie.
Thank you for calling me young. I appreciate that.
Well, relatively speaking.
We are the two youngest ones on the cast.
On the panel, you're older than I am?
I'm 40.
And I'm 45. Right.
We are a year older than I am.
Yeah. I'm 10 years younger.
It's all the moisturizing cream. Do you mask?
Morrison,
it's something all right.
I honestly... I have no interest in reading Grant Morrison books any longer.
Really?
He hasn't done anything for me in a while.
The Batman and Robin arc that just finished? Oh, my God. Yeah. The Cameron Stewart arc was fantastic. I thought it was really awesome. Yeah. I mean, I can understand during the Tam one, and I wasn't crazy about that either.
What about Joe the Barbarian?
Joe the Barbarian, there's nothing there.
Come on. That, two issues and nothing there. There's no fucking story in two issues of that.
I haven't read the second one.
The art looks fantastic.
It's a beautiful book.
Beautiful. Yeah. There's no fucking story. Because it's not, I'm not going to, it's living on Sean Murphy's art.
Yeah,
it's a movie pitch that turned into a comic book. Is that true? Well,
is that bad? I mean, that's
the rumor.
Hello, Millar. That's everything he writes, right?
Well, I'm not trumpeting his work either.
I remember Straczynski's Strange was also a movie pitch that turned into a comic book.
When
J. Michael Straczynski a few years ago did his Doctor Strange story?
Strange origin story.
Yeah.
That was a movie pitch?
Absolutely. Man. That I know for certain.
But he knows how to write movies. Yeah. Unlike Grant Morrison, honestly, Grant's like
Warren Ellis for me in terms of half the stuff I love and half the stuff I
agree. Yeah,
exactly. And that's why I'm willing to at least check it out.
There hasn't been much lately from Grant Morrison that I've liked myself. I'm not saying, you know, it's just
probably All-Star Superman.
But I like his mainstream.
Yeah, All-Star Superman was probably the last thing that I've really enjoyed from him. I mean, the Sea Guy stuff is just
it's crazy.
I'm ready to
that. And then the Batman and Robin was okay. I mean, I did like the last issue of it was interesting, but overall it's just like it's just kind of
really
the first three issues were fantastic
to me. I mean,
they were
not...
because I think that's a lot of that has to do with the fact that he had more characterization with Dick Grayson in those first three issues. That's dropped to the wayside.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all Batman now. It's that you don't get to see Dick Grayson at all. I'd like to see a little bit more of him figuring out what the fuck he's doing as Batman.
Yeah, that and maybe it's just whenever he works with quietly that just something.
I think that
I love quietly, that's true. Maybe they just collaborate and quietly is able to kind of
tell a story, de-stress it a little bit, I guess.
With the exception of R.I.P., which I did think went into weird tangents, and to be honest, Wikipedia makes more sense of R.I.P., and it keeps making me want to buy the trade and reread it.
Yeah.
But before that, all the stuff I think he was doing with Batman was very interesting. I loved the Batman of All Nations. I loved when Batman was in London.
I like the Black Hand arc that he did there, and I liked the All Nations. I did like those, but even that, I mean, as much as I enjoyed them, but it didn't blow me away. I'm just kind of the point where with Morrison, it's like,
you probably don't go in expecting greatness like a lot of people do.
No, God, no. Most of the time, I'm more hesitant, like expecting just weirdness, and I'm not going to enjoy it.
But I'm more surprised when
I enjoy something from him than I'm not.
Gale did a great job with the new Adam, but you know that was a Morrison idea, and I would have liked to have seen him write those stories or some stories.
I'll disagree. I think that is perfect. I think him coming up with just the crazy, whacked out germ of an idea, and then hand it off to a writer that can
execute it.
And I enjoyed Gale's run on All New Adam, but not nearly the end of the run as I did the beginning.
Well, that's the reason why I think it kind of puttered out.
A miniature Cthulhu god? That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. That.
Well, and just that whole idea of Ivy Town kind of being...
It's awesome in theory, but is it awesome sci-fi?
Well, but Gale made it a very fun book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she only had one bad story arc in that run, in my opinion, and that was just when he went to go back... When he went back to China to do the ex-girlfriend thing. That was ridiculous. I'd like to forget that one. But everything else, I really enjoyed.
The zombie bullies.
Yeah. That's the one.
I kind of like that one.
You would.
Well, when you were talking about Wonder Woman, I was like, "Yeah, Wonder Woman is the only Gail Simone book that I don't like."
What's
wrong? But you know what? That's a
not
hard
that it's
book.
Been yeah. bad. I mean, I just
no. But that's also a very hard book for people to get into.
I understand that too. Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know very many straight men, especially that really get into Wonder Woman.
I'm going back and I'm reading the Greg Rucka run on it.
Great
and
run.
I'm enjoying it. I think the inconsistencies in the art hurt that book. The art was never terrible, but it became inconsistent at a time. But one of the things that Gail said in her kind of going away letter that she put out today that kind of struck me as okay, here's the problem. She talks about all the people that come up to her and tell her how important Wonder Woman is to you know them and how the characters influence them and this way and then she says and most of these people have probably never opened up a Wonder Woman comic book. It's the idea of Wonder Woman and the empowered woman and so the idea of the character is very inspiring to people, but. Mostly the people that don't read the comic.
Right. Yeah. You know, my one conversation with Gloria Steinem back at the first New York Comic Con, I had to bring up her objection to Denny O'Neill's left turn that he took with Wonder Woman, depowering her, making her a street-level kind of daredevil character and everything, bringing I Ching in. And I said, because it really was a book of its time, and it was all about women's lib. And yet Steinem, again, objected to the changes of the idea of Wonder Woman. She was no longer the superwoman. She was no longer stronger than men and things. And, you know, I don't know if you know about this story.
How you interpret it.
Ms. Magazine, it was this front cover editorial of, look what these people are doing to Wonder Woman. This is the kind of thing that we object to in the women's movement, where the reality was, I think Denny was on their side and saying, no,
I don't think so, because I've been reading those recently.
Go ahead,
and the one thing that he did with Wonder Woman is, if you notice, first thing he did was he brought in a man.
I Ching.
He brought in a man to be her teacher. Oh,
okay,
no, wait,
go
I'm not done.
No, I want to hear
throughout
Stevie,
the, throughout the entire run, I've only gotten through the second trade so far, but throughout the entire run, she constantly is reminding her, not only herself, but everyone else, that she's human now. And every time that something happens to her, she starts to cry.
Interesting.
She cries and breaks down, and then a man has to come along and help her out. So Denny was just showing his misogynist side when he was writing this book. Now, that's got nothing to do with female empowerment.
Okay.
But it was really interesting, though, when he
is it misogyny
away,
or is it just wanting to sell the book to more men?
That was just me trying to use a big word.
Oh, okay.
That's all it was.
Good job. Well, no, seriously, though, I mean, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier with that show, The Big Bang Theory. And the reason
love
I got
that show.
Well, I just started, I'd never watched it before. And the reason I, why does this sound weird? The reason I,
you sound fine.
I started, watch it was I read this article this woman had written
that's correct
on a website I think it's called Geekosystem is the website but
interesting
she wrote
like
about it and she's a comic book geek and she enjoyed the show because the way that they presented comic book geeks but she didn't like it on one level because the only women in the show weren't comic book geeks. There's like, you know, there's the hot
Penny.
Blonde that lives next
hot.
Door.
Love her.
Or the scientist girl Dirty that has no interest in
oh,
she
yeah,
had no,
from Roseanne. I forget her name.
So she had no one to identify with as a woman. And I was sitting there going, well, yeah, I can appreciate that from her perspective. But from the perspective of the people running the show and the network and trying to sell a show, basically.
Audience.
Yeah. Who's the core audience? It's not the minuscule, you know, tiny, tiny fraction of people that are female and comic book nerds. It's the base of male comic book nerds. So at the same time, with Wonder Woman, it's like, well, or any female comic book character. It's the reason I have no interest in Wonder Woman. I grew up with four sisters. I have a wife and a daughter. I'm surrounded by women. I don't want to fucking read about them in my comic books. Sorry. I just have no interest in it.
No,
it has
I understand.
Nothing, it has nothing to do with hating
and I
women.
Kind
or,
of,
I just I don't associate with what women go through.
Well,
and I don't want to.
I grew up kind of the same. I mean, I had more men in my life, but I felt the same way until I don't want to read about women. But then, honestly, it was a lot of shows in the 90s and 2000s that I was like, you know, they finally figured out how to do an action show right to me. Because I was never a policewoman fan, Pepper Martin back in the day.
Woman.
Come on, absolutely, Angie Dickinson. But no, honestly, like, Alias really made me like, oh, this is actually really good. I am going to watch this. Because
Dark Angel?
No.
Yeah, because sadly, not Jessica Alba, although she's hot. But I'm, you know, but yeah, no, really, but no.
The reason you're watching that show is because A, she's surrounded by guys running around shooting stuff, and B, she's hot.
But she could.
If she wasn't hot, you would have no fucking interest in that show.
But I was. What I was impressed with was no. But honestly, like you were saying with Dark Angel, she was a hot chick that kicked ass, and I didn't care.
But it was a horrible show.
Jennifer Garner isn't hot.
You know,
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
She's got Madonna arms, man. They're all sinewy and gross. Sinewy. That's nasty.
John Sinewy? Hold
on. She's hot.
Sinewy. I like Sinewy. I like that word.
Sinewy. I've had a beer.
Wow. Fasten your seatbelts.
Well, anyway, we can debate whether or not she's hot later. But the point is, I mean...
You see, for me, it was the girl, honestly, and it was her fighting Gina Torres as the Russian or Cuban.
I love Gina Torres.
Anya, sure, hot chicks fighting.
But that's but again, it was good. It was good ass kicking. I'm just telling you what I thought. I mean, I wasn't checking out their knobs while they were fighting.
Bullshit.
I was appreciating the actual action that I was getting.
It was good storytelling. It was a hot chick.
You can do both. Why can't you appreciate the fight scenes and their knobs?
That's terrific.
I can appreciate both.
Yeah, my dad used to watch Wonder Woman with me because of the boobies.
Oh, come on. Linda Carter. Yeah, now there's a show that I watched. Exactly. Linda Carter is I watched it to watch Linda Carter. I could have cared less what the hell they called her. Oh, she's Wonder Woman? I didn't notice. I had no idea.
You know, my comic book hope for Wonder Woman, and I think what would be good is... I mean, JLA has kind of been limping along, and I'm sure that James Robinson has some you know, master plans for what he wants to do. I would really like to see Wonder Woman be the leader of the JLA. I think that would put her in a position in the DCU that would be very important. I think it would open that character up even more to
readers.
You know, more so than Black Canary, and I'm a big Black Canary fan, but I mean Wonder Woman is an obvious choice to be the leader of the JLA.
Sure.
You know, she has the ambassador side of the
negotiations.
Character. She can delegate. She's a leader. She
well, what is the JSA? They're a group of warriors.
Or JLA,
what,
yeah.
The JLA, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, JSA is awesome. But the JLA, they're a group of warriors. And what is Wonder Woman? She's a warrior. She's the best. What did Gail say? The best strategist that is in the DCU. Like she is the one you go to.
Come on.
Battle strategists.
I'm willing to put them on the battlefield and let a Wonder Woman team and a Batman team fight it out.
Yeah. I think that might be interesting. I want to see them get married and have babies.
You know, by the way, and I forget who has been saying this recently, where they'll read like the stuff that happened in Blackest Night Wonder Woman, and they're like, where's this Batman-Wonder Woman relationship from? And it's like, Justice League America, kids. I don't know where you guys were, and I don't know who said it, but it was like, well, I don't know, maybe it's another podcast that I'm not thinking of, but I'm like, what are you talking about? Joe Kelly made great stories.
Couple of people actually ask that too, and I'm like, you know, it's been there. Just
oh yeah,
oh,
and
yeah.
I think it's awesome, and I think it's cool that she thinks that much of Bruce. That it's like, no, he's a human that I actually, you know, more so than Steve Trevor.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I love that between you know, her and Batman and Superman. It's the greatest love triangle that will never happen in comics.
Well, but you know, and I don't know. I mean, I know that was the Byrne thing, obviously, that there was the attraction between them. But I think
it's not only been Byrne though. I mean, other writers.
The Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right about that. That's right. Wade had that. I didn't know that the Marston, the guy who created
Walton Marston.
Yes. Yeah. The estate still owned Wonder Woman up until the 90s.
Oh, wow.
And DC finally paid for the rights, but they had to continue to publish no matter what the sales were. They had to put X amount of Wonder Woman books out every year to maintain the license,
really?
Or it would have reverted back to them. And finally in the 90s, they bought it outright. But because I was... I heard Comic Geek Speak did a history of the DCU, and I thought they didn't really cover the Siegel and Schuster and Kane and Marston stories, because they are the foundation of the DC universe, obviously, in national public periodicals and All American as well. Mm-hmm. And it was those three deals that, you know, really kind of founded the company, and that the different things that happened, you know, Kane is the only guy. And I guess the Marston estate as well. He died in 1947. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Who the hell was running his estate?
I'm assuming his wife and his wife and his other wife.
His wife. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
How about that, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, no, his wife and a girl, and then his assistant, wasn't it?
Yeah, she's like, his secretary. Would you assist me for a second back here, Miss Carney?
He would have had many options of people to run his estate.
So, but yeah, it's like,
is that what they're doing with like these new characters that they've the red circle characters that
it's like, a license?
That's all. Archie, trying to keep a license going with that because
Archie owns it.
They keep pumping those books out,
and I'm like,
well, they've got
their reading those.
They've got Shield's while good. They have the license, they want to put out as much product as they can because when the license ends, that stuff goes back to Archie. It's like the Doc Savage Marvel stuff. From the 70s.
Right.
Right now, DC has the Doc Savage license. So much like Dark Horse is representing the Marvel Star Wars and the Robert Howard stuff, and they're putting it in Dark Horse trades, DC is doing the same thing with the Marvel Doc Savage
stuff. You guys read the new, what is it?
First Wave. Let's talk First Wave on next episode, because I absolutely loved it.
Next episode. Okay.
Yeah. Let's wrap this one up.
Is it? We're done already?
For the first episode.
Can I bring up one? All right, go ahead.
We got a whole other episode to do.
That's fine. But you had mentioned the Marvel Star Wars.
Yes.
So, and Dark Horse is putting that out as an omnibus.
Yes, I saw that.
It's going to be awesome, because I love those comics. All right. We will. You know what? Yeah, let's just wrap this up. Thanks, everyone. All right.
Wow.
What? We're building listenership now?
I don't know.
Everybody's listening. Turn this shit off right now.
Yeah.
Listen to Tom versus the Flash. You can listen to me.
I know you got other podcasts that you're going to.
11 o'clock comics.
Have a little fucking respect for the listeners.
Podcast now, right?
Just drop them like a hot potato.
Remember to book your plans now for C2E2. We're gonna have the big blowout there.
Blowout.
More details coming. And as we record this, it's 41 days, 14 hours, crazy. 45 minutes, and 23 seconds.
Crazy.
I'm so giddy.
It's gonna be a busy
April. So much
stuff
going on this year.
It's getting crazy.
What are you doing
it?
This year?
I'm C2E2, and I'm going on a family
trip. Nap.
I'm going to take a big nap.
Okay.
I'm going to Walt Disney World.
Are you going for the whatever the hell, the convention, or are you just going for the family?
Just going for the family.
There you go.
And we're hoping to hit Harry Potter Land when it opens. But
okay. I didn't know about Harry Potter Land.
I want to go.
Oh. I might be going to San Diego, maybe.
Cool.
I
can't go to San Diego this year.
Oh, where are you going?
Because it's the same weekend as a Baseball Hall of Fame induction.
Going to Cooperstown. Oh, that's awesome. That's very cool.
At least you have your priorities.
I'm still 50-50 on San Diego as well.
Yep.
I haven't decided yet.
Mine relies completely on other people, so.
I understand.
Well, I'm not going.
I'll be at WonderCon. Before 2 weeks before C2E2, I'll be going to San Francisco.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a tight convention.
You know, there's cool. There's enough cool people there that I'm like, I know it's only 2 weeks before C2E2, but it's worth it. I'm kicking myself that I didn't go to Seattle.
Yeah,
everybody's awesome at.
Show.
You know,
it's a great show. My favorite show in the country. All right,
kick
yourself some more.
We will talk about all this stuff more next week.
Okay.
So everyone have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again next month. Yes. Keep him in that chair. We'll be back again next Monday with an all-new episode. In the meantime.
In between time.
Thank you.
You could have said it.
No.
Oh,
I'm the originator.
Oh, God bless you.
We'll be everywhere in
and around
comics.
And he's right.
That's right. That is John's thing.
He created that.
Yeah.
We used to say that on the score.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, how about those bears?
I'm rocking the suburbs, just like Michael Jackson did. I'm rocking the suburbs, except that he was talented. I'm rocking the suburbs, I take the checks and face the facts. This is a producer with computers, this is all my shitty tracks.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2010.
Girl, give me something I can't break. I'm rocking the suburbs. Just like Quiet Riot did. I'm rocking the suburbs, except that they were talented. I'm rocking the suburbs, I take the checks and face the facts. The sub producer with computers.
some.